You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, it used to be when you'd think of a pop-up business, you'd pretty much think of those Halloween stores that pop up every September, or the fireworks tents that happen every July, or maybe the Christmas tree and wreath lots that happen every Thanksgiving. But the pop-up is growing and spreading, and temporary businesses are gaining traction in cities and towns where the Great Recession left many empty storefronts. And the pop-up works on so many levels, both for the entrepreneur and for the business districts and the cities who see new life being breathed into buildings and areas that have been way too quiet. Let's talk pop-ups as we welcome Brian Ellison. He's a business advocate for the city of Detroit, and as such, he helps pop-up businesses navigate the world of permits and governmental regulations. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how are you, Cynthia?
Good. Good to have you with us on Stateside. And we're also joined by Angela Foster. Angela's a pastry chef who operated a pop-up coffee shop on Detroit's east side for the month-long project called June on Jefferson, put on by the Jefferson East Business Association. Her shop is called Coffee and... And you get to fill in the blank. Angela, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
Brian, what do you feel is behind the growth in pop-up businesses?
I think within the city of Detroit, there's probably a couple of different factors that you're seeing contributing to the emergence of the pop-up retail phenomenon. One, we do have a large number of vacant areas, which were previously commercial districts within the city. And while they're not completely vacant, when we look at avenues such as Livernois or Woodward and downtown, there's enough vacancy there and enough lack of use that landlords or the city are willing to work with folks to get them in on a temporary basis to, A, revitalize the property, and, B, from the business owner's perspective, offer them an opportunity to kind of test the waters at a relatively low cost.
So it really is win-win for both sides of this equation.
Absolutely. And then I guess there's probably a third side as well that needs to be looked at, which is the communities where these businesses are locating. They're bringing amenity back, in many cases, to areas that have been without for 10 years or more.
When we talk about pop-up businesses, Brian Ellison, as you work with them for the city of Detroit, what kinds of businesses are we referring to?
You know, there's a pretty broad spectrum. What I've seen of late is retail, and this has come in the form of retail from established companies such as Moose Jaw. That would be a test case scenario in a relatively high visibility area on Woodward. That's a pop-up that went to permanent fixture. It took on a permanent lease. But we're also seeing a lot at the community level around food, such as Angela's Coffee Shop, and retail, small retail. And it can be everything from art prints and some clothing, and then food and drinks.
Angela Foster, you moved from being a pastry chef at a leading hotel to operating pop-up coffee shops. I'm wondering, what are you getting out of running the pop-ups that you were not getting from working for the big-name hotel?
Well, instant gratification. So I'm right there when I see everybody eat my pastries, and it's great. And a community. So when I worked at the hotels, I mean, did anybody really care? I did, because it really helped me hone my craft. I learned from some of the best pastry chefs in the world. So that was 9 years ago. And so I opened my first pop-up last fall in the West Village to simply meet my neighbors. It was just a block down the street. I didn't do it for any other reason. That was it. I just wanted to know the community I was living in. And then it changed into something else. I realized that people really liked the things I was baking. And it was hard to get a job. I applied everywhere in Detroit to work anywhere, in a restaurant, in a catering company, but no one knew me. I was just like everyone else with a culinary degree. So it gave me a way to make a living doing pastry again, but by being with people and doing something really good, I think, for neighborhoods that aren't just mine, because now I've popped up 2 miles down the road in Jefferson East. And it's just an amazing welcome I've gotten. They don't really care that I don't live in Jeff Chalmers. They just care that I'm a Detroiter that is there doing it. And it's, I think, built a tremendous amount of community in that area.
What advantages does a pop-up offer to an entrepreneur?
Well, you're a litmus test, really. so you get a chance to, just as Brian said earlier, test the waters. Is this a viable enough location for a business? Are there enough people in the surrounding neighborhood and community that will support you? Can you get enough draw by social media to attract people from across Detroit? Can we get them coming all the way from Corktown, all the way from Midtown, where there's plenty of coffee shops? Can we get them coming from Sterling Heights just to check out the new place? And it also gives you a chance to figure out how tight you can run your ship, as well as how much you could afford to pay in rent if you were to do it on your own.
Brian Ellison, as you work with pop-up businesses for the city of Detroit, you talked about the immediate impact of getting people coming into areas that had been way too quiet, such as the June on Jefferson event that's been going on for a month. But what do you hope to see in terms of long-range impact from pop-ups?
You know, ideally, I kind of see two outcomes that I hope for. First is that the existing pop-up entrepreneurs are successful, and that's proven. So the amenity now is in the community, which is twofold, right? It services the needs of that community or the wants of that community, as well as providing a living for somebody who's doing their passion in this place. So then they go on and become permanent, and then secondarily, that more entrepreneurs try out Detroit in a relatively cost-efficient manner.
It's very nimble and it's cost efficient. Angela, would you want to create more pop-ups or do you want to use your pop-up coffee shop to transition into a permanent business?
That's a great question. I would love to keep doing what I'm doing forever, but I don't know if I know how to run a business exactly. I know how to bake. I know how to welcome people. Mm-hmm. And I know how to work every single day, 30 days straight, because I'm the one that does all the baking and I'm the one that does all the work. I'm not sure if I know how to train others to do what I do, because I've never really done that before. So I would love to keep popping up, but then I also think, doesn't that get a little strange? Like, here she is again popping up. And so many people have asked me to go permanent because they enjoy it so much, and then I wonder, will it wear off? Because I'm not a pop-up anymore. Oh, she's there every day. You know, mm-hmm. Will people come? So I don't know the answer. I think it's a lot of fun figuring out if a space is busy enough for a business or if your concept is good enough for a business. But I think what I would like to see is somebody come in there who really knows how to run a business and has investors and has the money to go in there and do it right. I don't know that I have all of that.
You've got the art part of it down, but let someone else handle the business part, I think I'm hearing.
I think so. Maybe if I do two more pop-ups, by then I'll be, you know, Miss Businesswoman. But right now I just know that I love to bake and I love people. I love hospitality.
Brian, what would you advise both would-be entrepreneurs and local government leaders who are listening to us all over Michigan about the do's and don'ts of pop-up businesses?
If I was speaking to the entrepreneurs, and I do quite often, I like to go through some basic ground rules, if you will, that have worked for us. I know that from a business perspective, part of the idea of utilizing the pop-up model is that you can create a cost-efficient, quick access way to get a property back in use. So what you want to do is you want to deal with a property that is as close to viable, you know, structurally as possible. Pop-ups are generally not held to a very high standard of decor by their user, but we do have a standard of safety and engineering. So, you know, the space needs to be safe. To that end, to reduce costs, and a lot of our pop-ups will work with an agency such as the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation and their Revolve program, where they're able to seed funds into getting some of these facilities operational. So contacting them is critical, in my opinion. Also, when you're working with the city under our zoning or code regulations, you want to make sure that the previous use of the building is relatively closely aligned to what you want to do. And the reason I say that is this. If you have a use or a prior use that was very, very different from what you're looking to do, you're going to encounter challenges with obtaining a change of use permit, which means you're going to have to go to boards, which means increased costs, reduced reduced efficiency in getting into the space. So basically, long story short, due diligence. And there are resources. You can contact Buildings and Safety and say, look, I'm looking to do a pop-up in this address. They can pull the address, tell you what the previous use was, tell you the existing conditions of the building if you can't get them readily from the landlord. And we are more than willing to work with you to do that. You can also, again, reach out to an agency such as the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation here, and they can point you in the direction of resources to get your space set up for a retail operation. I would say when speaking to other people in government, one, it's being open and creative in your thinking. Sometimes we become very set in the way we perceive a retail space to look or a restaurant to look. And a lot of times, you know, a pop-up will create exactly the same amenity, and perhaps the aesthetic is different, you know, or perhaps the model is different than something that you're used to seeing. And sometimes it's just something that may seem different for that area. I like to say, you know, let the entrepreneur or let the operator figure those pieces out. Sometimes in government we become very restrictive, and don't let the entrepreneurs run the risk. They're doing an analysis. Angela did an analysis. She knows the community. She put her coffee shop in. Fortunately, one of them was the one that I live in, and she does make great pastries, by the way, just a side note.
Thank you, Brian.
So, I mean, you know, let the creative minds, let the entrepreneurs, let them bring an amenity and be open.
Angela, in our last minute, what's the biggest piece of advice you would offer to someone who would love to make their dream a reality?
I think the biggest piece of advice I would have is just be you. Say everything you want to say and do everything you want to do. It worked for me. I didn't even realize that I had a big dream or a big goal until I saw the call for proposals, and then all of a sudden I had an idea, and I just wrote it all down, and Revolve Detroit and the DEGC loved it, and they allowed me just to do that. With the Jefferson East Business Association, we had a lot more parameters to work with. We were dealing with the American Institute of Architects. I had a crew of 8 designers who were working with me, and we had a board, and so we had to deal with what everyone else wanted. And so I did that, but I said, I want to be open every day, not just Friday and Saturday for June on Jefferson. And they were a little leery, and I kept pushing and kept pushing. And they said, okay. And I did it, and they said, thank you. This has been great. So I think just knowing what you want and being able to speak it and then do it.
That was pastry chef Angela Foster, who's been operating pop-up coffee shops, coffee and... you can fill in the blank, is the most recent one she's been operating with the Jefferson East Business Association. We've also been speaking with Brian Ellison with the City of Detroit. Thank you so much to both of you for talking with us on Stateside today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.